And she said, Grandma, we know that you love God, and we thank God for how he worked and provided for you to put me through college. But Grandmother, there's just something that I need to get you straight on, that whenever you use the singular noun God, you should use the singular verb is, and you should say God is good and not God are good. Grandma, why do you say God are good? She said, Granddaughter, when I look at all the things that God has done for me, is not big enough, and I need a word like are. God are good.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue our walk through the Psalms with the first half of Try Him, You'll Like Him, Psalms 34. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Try Him, You'll Like Him.
34th Psalm. Psalm 34. And for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be sharing different topics, messages concerning various topics. And then in September, we're going to start a series. I'm almost afraid to announce it because maybe people might decide they're not going to come. But we're going to start a series on the G word. That's all right. You figure it out. If you don't know what I'm talking about, say neighbor. Oh, neighbor. What is he talking about? Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. He shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about those who fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusteth in him. And the title of our message this morning comes from the 8th verse, where it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the title of our message is today, You've Tasted the Rest, Now Taste the Best. Amen. Father, we thank you for this 34th Psalm that we will have the opportunity to share from today. And Lord, I ask now that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, many of us have been Christians for a while, and yet and still, Lord, we are tasting in other areas that we should not be tasting. Lord, we are satisfying our appetite in areas that we shouldn't be going. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us to see truly that the Lord is good, and that when we taste of him, that we are able to taste the best. Father, I pray that you would open up your word to us this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Let this message go beyond this Sunday morning, but let us walk out the door with this message in our hearts, and let it be one that will ring within our lives for years to come. And Lord, we thank you. And as always, we invite the congregation to come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. He who fed the multitudes and turned the water into wine, come and dine. The master's calling, come and dine. Lord, let us eat at your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You've tasted the rest. Now taste the best. There was a lady whose daughter had passed away in a tragic car accident, and she was left with the responsibility of raising her daughter's daughter, which was her grandchild. And she was struggling financially. And she struggled financially to raise a child up and bring this little girl through high school, which she graduated from. And she struggled financially to get the girl into her first year of college. And she didn't know how she was going to make it, but the lady had a great faith. She had a great faith in God. And unbelievably, by blessings here and blessings there, she was able to put her granddaughter through college. And when her granddaughter graduated from college, she had come home and was looking for the job that God would have for her. And every time that her grandmother would see her, her grandmother would say, "God are good." And she would look, the granddaughter would look, and she would look, she said, "God are good." Now, the girl had been to college, and she had learned correct English, and she realized that you don't use a plural a verb with a singular noun, and she was a little concerned about her grandmother, and she thought that her grandmother was going around saying, "God are good," and she wanted to correct her English. And she said, "Grandma, we know that you love God, and we thank God for how he worked and provided for you to put me through college. But grandmother, there's just something that I need to get you straight on, that whenever you use the singular noun God, you should use the singular verb is, and you should say God is good and not God are good. Grandma, why do you say God are good?" She said, "Granddaughter, when I look at all the things that God has done for me, is not big enough, and I need a word like are. God are good. God are good, and God is good." And the psalmist says that God is good, and he invites us to taste and come and see that the Lord is good this morning. There was an atheist that was teaching at the university, and he was talking about God, and he said that if there was really a God, why do all these things go on? And if there was a God, why did I have so many troubles in my life? If there really is a God, why is it that there are so much problems in the world today? And one of the students in the class that was a Christian saw that the professor had an apple sitting up on the desk. And he raised his hand and he said, "Professor," he said, "is that apple sweet or is it sour?" And the professor said, "I don't know if it's what it is. I don't know if it's sweet or sour." And the student says, "There's one way to find out." And the professor said, "How is that?" And he said, "If you taste it." And the professor tasted it and the apple was sweet. He said, "The apple is sweet." He said, "Well, how can you know whether God is good or not? How can you know whether God is sweet or not unless you have tasted him?" And I'm telling you this morning that if you're here today and you haven't tasted God, you can't know that he's good. If you haven't tasted him to see the sweetness that's found in this life with God, in this relationship with God, oh, I'm telling you, you don't know what you're missing. The psalmist realized that God had brought him through a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems, a lot of trials and tribulations. And through it all, he tasted God and he saw the sweetness of God. And he said, look, God has brought me through a lot of things. Look what he said in verse 6. He said, "This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And I'm here to tell you, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And, you know, we think about God being the God of the good times. And you know, whenever something good happens, what do we say? Man, praise the Lord. God is good. God is good all the time and all the time. God is good. And we praise God when the good times and good things happen. But I want to tell you something here this morning, that God is good whether you have good situation or a bad situation. God is good whether you have good circumstances or bad circumstances. God is good all the time. And if you would taste and see in the midst of your tragedy and trial, God is good. You know, I don't know how to explain this thing. You know, Brother Russell prayed this morning. And you know, sometimes in my own faith and in my own self, I struggle with, like Brother Russell prayed this morning about, we pray for the people that were affected by the hurricane in Florida. And Lord, we thank you for how you watch over us. And you know, it's a good thing to be able to say, God, you've been good to us, that you haven't allowed a hurricane to come here and wipe out all that we have. But that same God The same God that keeps the hurricane from us, let the hurricane go in Florida. What do you make of that? Is God not good to the people in Florida? And God is good to us? No, my friend. God is good when we don't have a hurricane. And God is good when we do have a hurricane. I don't understand. Yo, I just be honest with you. There's some things I don't understand. I don't understand how that people's lives were taken. I don't understand how towns were destroyed. I don't understand how that people lost life, pictures, memories, possessions. I don't understand how that happened. But I know what? That God is still good. It hasn't affected the goodness of God. And so we need to realize that God is good. And I'm sure that if there are some believers down there in Florida, which I'm sure there are many, that there's somebody down there saying, in the midst of a house that's collapsed all around them, in the midst of losing a loved one, I'm sure that there's somebody down there saying, God is good. God is good. I don't understand this. I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand what's going on, but God is good. There was a missionary on one of the islands at the tip of South America, and he lived to be at the age of 57. He died of disease and starvation. And when they found his diary, it was laying right beside him. And basically in his diary, the record contained hunger and thirst and wounds and loneliness. And that was his experience as a missionary. And the last entry that was written in his journal, probably before he died, it was with shaky hands and it was almost unreadable. But as he slipped off into eternity, in the midst of all this poverty and loneliness and starvation, he recorded these last words in his diary. I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Man, can you say that in the bad times? Yeah, God is the God of the good times, but he's also good in the bad times too. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you have your notes this morning and your bulletins, you can pull them out and follow along with me as I go through the message today. The context of Psalm 34. What is the context of Psalm 34? Well, if you take our Old Testament survey class, you will learn about superscriptions. You can say, Pastor Glaze, what in the world is a superscription? Well, in the Psalms, these are things that come before the actual psalm itself, and they give a background to the history of the psalm. Not all the psalms have a superscription, but this one does. So we can pick up the background from which David wrote this psalm as we read the superscription. My Bible says, and I'm sure yours does too, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. You remember over there when David had hooked up with the Philistines? And they became a little suspicious of him. And they heard about this bad dude called David because they were singing a song that Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000s. What was he talking about? He's talking about Philistines. Saul killed thousands of Philistines, but David killed what? 10,000s. And so the king saw David come into the city and he was a little concerned. Well, you know, David, he got this reputation of being a Philistine killer, and he showed up here on our turf? Oh, that's not going to happen. And so he confronted David. And what did David do? David took some spit and spit in his hands and put it on his beard and spit out of his mouth, and spit was dropping off his beard and spit was coming down on his clothes. And David was out there like a madman, like he was crazy. And the king let him go because they were superstitious about messing with people who were crazy. And so they let David go. And so that's the background of this particular psalm. That David, you see right there, it says when he changed his behavior. Well, that's what, you know, he acted like he would, like we would say today, he acted like he didn't have any sense. All right, he acted crazy. And the king let him go. And so that's the background to this psalm. And so David realized that he had been delivered out of that situation. And he says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I cried unto the Lord. He heard me. Man, somebody ought to come and taste him with me. Somebody ought to come and see this morning that God is good. We see, first of all, the invitation to taste. The invitation to taste. The invitation is two things. It's personal and it's progressive. This is good. This is good. The invitation is personal, first of all. That means that you got to come taste for yourself. Nobody else can taste it for you. You know, one of the things I really like. Krispy Kreme donuts. Now, those of you who are health nuts, that you know, don't shoot your pastor. Don't talk about me when you leave. But Krispy Kreme. Oh man, these some good donuts. Some real good donuts. Now I can stand up here and I can tell you how good this donut is. And I'm gonna tell you one thing now. You know, see, this is not the best. You got to get it when you first buy it from Krispy Kreme. Oh, it's good. But I have learned the secret. 9 seconds in the microwave. 9 seconds in the microwave, and you'll get it back. And so the first thing that you have to realize when David says, taste and see, you got to do it for yourself. Now, you could tell me how good this donut tastes, and you could go on at length to tell me how good a Krispy Kreme donut is, but you know what? I got to taste it for myself. And David says that if you really want to see that the Lord is good, you got to taste him for yourself. I mean, I could tell you all these things about how good God is. And I can tell you all these things about how that when I was in Virginia, that I didn't have a job and God provided for me every step of the way. I could tell you about how that in different situations, being running out of gas in the middle of the night, and how God protected me in the middle of nowhere. And I could go on at length to talk about all the things that have happened to me and God has seen me through, each and every one. And I can go ahead and tell you about how God is, but you're not going to know until you taste for yourself. You've got to come. You've got to embrace this thing yourself. You know, it's good to hear Pastor Glaze's testimony. It's good to hear how God brought Pastor Glaze through, but you got to have a testimony for yourself. You got to be able to stand up and say, this is what God did for me. I taste it, and I know it's true, and I know he brought me through. God is good. Oh, the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. This thing is first personal, and then it's progressive, as we said in the notes. You are invited to taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? Now, I would never know that the donut was good unless I tasted it. Then I know. Oh, man, it's good. I went to a place last week, Cheesecake Factory. Oh, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. Put the hurting on me, man. Put the hurting on me. Over on Carson Street. You ought to go. Oh, man. But I got there, and man, the food was so delicious. And they gave you so much. But, you know, I can stand here, and I can tell you about the Cheesecake Factory all that I want to. But you got to go for yourself. You got to go for yourself. I can tell you, I can stand here at length. Somebody, oh, watch out now. Let me bring this thing on down to the hood. Let me bring it on down to the hood now. I can stand here and tell you all about Nene's ribs with the honey mustard sauce. But, unless you try them for yourself. Oh, unless you try them for yourself, you'll never know how good they are. And the psalmist said, man, God is good. And this thing is progressive, that when you taste and see, and you know, when you taste that God is good, you'll want more. Oh, when you taste that God is good, Boy, that's a good donut. Is there a microwave in this building? It's good. You know, when you taste it, you know what? You can't eat one Krispy Kreme. You can't eat one Krispy Kreme donut, man, because you want more. That's a good way to get hurt, man. You can't eat one. You know, I go by Krispy Kreme. I said, give me one Krispy Kreme donut. She said, that's 79 cents. I said, oh, did I say one? I meant one dozen. You know, the more you eat, the more you want. Sometimes you just got to stop and say, look, I'm not going to eat any more of these donuts. I'm just going to stop and not eat anymore. And you know, that's the way that it is with God. That when you taste and you see that the Lord is good, man, you want more. You want more because it's so good. Man, it's so good to taste the Lord. David said, oh, come magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. David realized the goodness of God. And he realized how good God was. And as we move through the outline this morning, the next thing I want is the types of taste. What types of taste? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 6, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who have a taste for God, who have a taste for righteousness. What are some of the tastes that people have? Well, Satan had a taste for power. He got the taste of power in his mouth, and he wanted to be the big dog. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you got a taste for power today, and you want to be like Satan. You want to exalt yourself up. Satan wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. The taste of power just so permeated his mouth. It was just so much in him that it led him to his ruin. And I find that in our society today, there are so many people that have a taste for power. They want to be the big dog. They want to be numero uno. And when you have that taste, you know what? You keep driving and you keep pushing and all other things become secondary. Because this is the primary taste that you have in your mouth. Some people, like Nebuchadnezzar, had a taste for praise. In Daniel chapter 4, it says that he built this great kingdom and he walked out and looked and said, is this not great Babylon that I have built? Look at what I have done. And folk want praise. Some people have the taste for praise in their mouth. You know, as sister.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Try Him, You'll Like Him, Psalms 34. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Try Him, You'll Like Him, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Try Him, You'll Like Him. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Try Him, You'll Like Him. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website at anchoredinjesus.org or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org. or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.